Tell us about what your first few days of captivity in Beirut were like.
Well, being blindfolded and chained and abused and beaten, shouted at, threatened by a bunch of people, and being totally helpless to do anything about it. It was a very difficult time, and, you know, you spend a lot of time feeling very guilty for what it's doing to your family, because you know that your family is just going to be devastated by your situation.
Now, I read an interview where you mentioned that idea of feeling guilty about being taken.
You feel so stupid.
Well, now, why would you feel stupid?
Because, for instance, in my case, I'd been in Lebanon for several years covering the war. I knew how dangerous it was. But I was the chief Middle East correspondent for the AP. And I thought that my job was very important, and I thought I could handle it. Particularly journalists get this kind of sense of invulnerability. You know, I'm just here to watch. Nothing's going to happen to me. Well, of course, we all know that's nonsense. In fact, my wife was warning me at the time how dangerous it had become. It was getting worse and worse. And she was very worried about me. And we had several discussions about it.
Was she in Lebanon with you?
My wife is Lebanese. Mm. She was a journalist there. And I just didn't listen. She told me, we had an argument the night before I was kidnapped. And she didn't know that they had tried to kidnap me that day. That my car had been blocked off and then they tried to snatch me and I got away from them. I hadn't told her. And she was saying, you know, it's getting very bad. Almost all the journalists were leaving or had left already. And I said, I'm not leaving till they come through the windows. It's kind of a stupid, arrogant thing to say. And she just looked at me and said, Terry, they don't come through the windows. And of course they didn't. They snatched me off the street.
Let's talk about the question, and you talked about some of what you see now as being arrogance on your part and staying in Lebanon in a dangerous situation. Why do journalists put themselves at risk? I mean, why are they willing to go to places like Iraq and Lebanon and other places?
There's a wonderful documentary done a few years ago about a young photographer in Somalia, another place, and it's called Dying to Tell the Story. He was killed, and it was about why he was doing it. And he was a young man, and he was searching for adventure, of course, but he also had an involvement in the story. Most foreign correspondents that I know, of course, we have good, bad, and indifferent correspondents like any other job, mm-hmm. but most of the good ones that I know certainly are highly idealistic. They really want to have an impact. They want to do some good, and they see in their terms, because they're journalists, the best good they can do is by finding and telling the truth. I'm not going to get in a philosophical argument about whose truth or what truth. Let's leave it at what happened, what really happened, and what is happening now. It's kind of like they're tugging at your shirt, and they have this sense of indignation. Come on, you have to see this. Look at this. Look at what is happening to this people. This is important. You need to see it. Yes, of course there are people who do it because it's exciting, and it is terribly exciting sometimes. Like any other job, sometimes it's very dull. And it is probably the most fascinating job in the world. You're talking to everybody from presidents to terrorists to criminals to ordinary people. And to me, I think it's the ordinary people who tell the most important stories. Why do they do it? Maybe they're a little bit crazy. I can remember, I'll tell you a little story if we have a minute. I can remember going towards some fighting in Lebanon in a car with my driver. Now, there were reports of some battles going on in this area. And as we were driving down the road, these two ladies, very well-dressed Lebanese Christians, stopped us, flagged the car down, waved the car down, and we stopped. And they jumped in the car and started, you know, talking in Arabic with my driver. I have very little Arabic, but I got the sense of what they were talking about, how terrible it was up there and bad things were happening. And after a minute or two, I leaned forward and I said, Elias, perhaps you'd better tell them we're going to the fighting, not away from it. And they screamed. And we stopped the car and they jumped out and ran off down the road and we went on to the fighting. It's not a normal reaction.
Mm-mm.
Okay, but you don't do those sorts of things really for adventure or adrenaline. It's dangerous, and you know how dangerous it is. You do them because you think it's important.
Do you think the public has an appreciation at this point? Do they feel us? Do they feel these journalists pulling on their shirt sleeves, saying, "Pay attention, this is important"?
I think so. I think so. If we didn't believe we had an effect, then it would be kind of useless. It does, by the way, have an effect on the journalists themselves, and they don't talk about it very much. There is a phenomenon that's been studied, well, in the last 10, 15 years, called secondary post-traumatic stress syndrome. Journalists, firemen, policemen, people who deal with disaster every day, are affected by it. You can't do that sort of thing and not have it affect you. Journalists have to screen some of that out or they can't operate. Policemen have to screen some of it out, but they do feel it.
Given the situation in Iraq right now, should news organizations have reporters and journalists in Iraq?
That's always a difficult question. It is the biggest story in the world. It is the most important conflict in the world. People need to know what's happening. We cannot, I'm sorry, rely solely on our government sources of information because we know that governments, no matter how much we like them, never tell the whole truth. One of the things you will never hear from our side is how many Iraqis died. How many civilians? Have you watched Al Jazeera, the Arabic TV station, their film out of Fallujah? It's markedly different from the film on this side. And you need to see that sort of thing. You need the whole story in order to make decent judgments. So, I think they should be there. On the other hand, it doesn't do any good to be there if you're going to get killed or kidnapped. You can't file the story. So it's a constant balance. In fact, a combat journalist or photographer makes a judgment almost every step. Is this next step worth what I'm going to learn when I get there? How dangerous is it for me to go from this house to that house? And what am I going to get when I get there? Is it worth it? They're not adrenaline junkies. They're making very careful judgments all the time because they don't want to die either.